Good morning. Welcome. It's the Bible Study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for being with us this morning. Can you believe it? We are finally here. 50 lessons. Well, technically 49. Today is lesson number 50, hour number 50. Some 30-odd pastors. They're not odd pastors. Some 30 pastors were in the mix. I was looking at the calendar, and joining us this morning to wrap it all up, to make sense of it all, to tell you exactly what it means, Pastor John Chang from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. Well, welcome.
Thank you for having me. Another one of those odd pastors is here with you today.
You know,
welcome to the show, another odd pastor.
That sentence made perfect sense when I was thinking about it this morning, but then when you actually say it, the words, they could be taken to mean something different, but
it's
no way,
shape, or form. It's good to have a laugh in the morning.
Yeah, it is. And thank you for bringing one at my expense.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. Exodus in yes. 50 easy lessons.
Of course. And now you're an expert.
I am.
You can move over to the seminary and start teaching. And
really?
Oh, no?
Can I take Dr. Velz's office? Would that be too much of an... Would I be thinking too much of myself if I did that?
Just elbow your way in. Guys, I've got a few things to teach you.
Let me tell you, Pastor Shank, if anything, the thing that Exodus has taught me is how little you really do know about the Scriptures.
Yeah, it's whenever we study, we become humbled by His Word. And that's great, because He's God and we're not. And He comes to us, and we don't go to Him, which is great, because we could never make it to Him, but He comes right to us.
When I was looking over this originally months ago and planning to do this lesson, the thing that really struck me is that 50 hours didn't do it justice. We probably could have spent 6 months, because there's some parts of the text that you can literally take line by line and spend an entire hour just on one verse.
Yes. And as a good pastor friend of mine says, but we've got their whole life. We've got your whole life. God's got your whole life to continue to teach you, right? So in any given period, we shouldn't stress out, right? We should just be still and know that He's Lord, and He continues to teach us as we go through His Word, and we are humbled by Him, and we rejoice in the words that He does teach us today, and we move on to tomorrow.
Well, the other thing that I think that really illustrates what you said is that thanks be to God that Jesus did it for us. If we had to get all these details down in the short lifespans that we all have, you know, some mere 80-plus years that the average person gets these days, we could never do it.
Well, are you confessing that you're not perfect?
Believe me, I don't need to do. My wife will do that on my behalf, and so will my
kids,
and so will my parents, and so will my neighbors, and... Yeah,
we're not perfect, and yet His word calls for perfection and perfect holiness and perfect purity, and all of that you've been exposed to here in Exodus, and then as you move through the Pentateuch, the five books of Moses, you see that perfect holiness and purity is called for, and we're not. So what's the answer?
Panic.
Panic,
worry,
and despair,
anxiety,
if it, yeah,
despair.
If it wasn't
fear
for Christ,
and trembling,
yeah, mm-hmm, all those things would come. Thanks be to God, we have the good news of Jesus Christ, the very gospel of your salvation, the very message that He is perfect in your stead and gives you and clothes you and consecrates you in that perfection. So very much words that we have in our text are the words of Christ for you.
Well, let's begin. We have Exodus chapter 40 is the assignment for today. A lot of this is repetitive. We've seen this 2-3 times, and now Moses is actually assembling everything in the tabernacle itself, all the appliances for the tabernacle, the courtyard. So we're not going to go through each verse necessarily, right, but what I'd like to do as we go through this is then have you sort of put the big picture, the application for today on all of this. But let's begin with prayer.
Absolutely. Let us pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, in your word you teach us how you abide with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In your word you show us the very picture of your presence in the cloud and in the fire. in your word, you also reveal to us your very physical presence with us in the flesh, in the person of Jesus Christ. Help us always to know of that present in word and sacrament here today. Help us to turn to that, to return to your church, where you are present with us every week in your word, in your sacrament, in the very meal of body and blood with us. Help us to see that presence, to rejoice in that presence, and to have the very forgiveness of our sins, of our very salvation in the presence of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, for he lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Those are the phone numbers. Email up and running as well. KFUO at KFUO.org. So beginning at verse 1 of chapter 40 of Exodus, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "On the first day of the first month you shall erect the tabernacle of the tent of meeting, and you shall put in it the ark of testimony, and you shall screen the ark with a veil." Now this, the first day of the first month, that's New Year's Day, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a whole new year. We have the time... you know, they had left and made their exodus and the Passover. They had made it into the into Sinai and gathered around the mountain. And now we have all the instructions that you have gone through, the time where Moses had gone up and received the 10 words, the commandments, the Decalogue, and then all of what has unfolded, right? And now we are moving to bring together all of what they had been building, all of the instructions about these furnishings, and now we are gathering in this whole new year to put it all together. So we have a whole new thing happening for the people of Israel.
Now, for us culturally, New Year's is a time of making resolutions, it's a time of reflection, it's a time of maybe taking stock of where you are, where you've been, where you'd like to be. Does any of that relate to what goes on here at the tabernacle?
Well, here, with this whole new, a whole new connection to their covenant God, right? There is a newness to God. Yes, God had been present with them. He's present everywhere. But this is something much different because he had called out a people that was not a people. It was a family clan, right? With one person of Abraham and making the province through Abraham and making him into a people. And now we have such a people that they're a nation. And his preserving them in Egypt and growing them in the harsh treatment of slavery, and now he calls them out, seeing his election and calling of them as his own people out of all the nations and tribes of people, showing his mercy for his promise. So it's, you know, we often make so much misconceptions of the Old Testament, right?
Oh, yeah.
That the Old Testament is all... a mean, nasty God, right? A totally different God of the New Testament.
The angry God of the smoting and the smiting.
Is so not what we have in here, right? What we have and what you've had revealed to you in Exodus is mercy and grace for the people of Israel as God has worked to call them out, to consecrate, to set them aside for a special purpose. What's that purpose, right? For the salvation of all mankind. Through the promise of the seed of the woman. All of this God is working through his people. And so now, with the summation and the wrapping up of Exodus, we have God abiding with them. What a beautiful picture of his care, right? They're not alone. You know, they're such a, you know, yes, they're a people of great number compared to what they were. But when you look at this number of people compared to all the nations, you know, Egypt and those that they have to face shortly here.
Kind of puny, aren't they?
They're small, yeah. Right? And they don't have the armies as the world has, with chariots and horses and all of what could be come and will be very scary of these giant people that they're confronted with, right? A discussion for another day. But God is teaching them that He is with them. And when He is with them, they shall stay. Stay there and abide. And when He wants them to move, He'll lift His presence in the very visible form of the cloud of the then with the fire, and He'll lead them. And they are to follow Him in a very physical way. We have a lot to understand with that, because as we go forward, Christ is a very present with us. So,
trying to connect Exodus to application for today to the New Testament, because we spent so much time looking backwards to look forwards and looking forwards to look backwards as we went through Exodus. When it comes to, like I said, New Year's and this whole idea of reflection. Mm-hmm. I started thinking a little bit about, Sunday morning, I happen to be a member of a congregation that offers the sacrament of the Lord's Supper at every service.
Right.
Saturday, twice on Sunday. So this whole idea of reflection, a little bit of introspection, a little bit of,
examination
before you go up. This is what happens also here at the tabernacle in Exodus, isn't it, where you have this time where before the high priest can go into the Holy of Holies, even on Yom Kippur, or just even enter into the courtyard, there's a washing, there's a sacrifice, there are all of this focus on you are sinful and you cannot come into my presence,
right,
without something interceding in between.
Yeah, and we have a lot of barriers in this tabernacle and the Holy of Holies and all these barriers put up as well, which reflects and is a shadow, a sign of the greater reality of our sin, right? Because of our sin, these people can't just come into the presence of the Lord, the whole nation. What do they have to do? As you said, on one day of the year, they have one person represent the whole nation and go before the presence of the Lord, but not just as He is, right? Not as He is, but clothed,
right,
in a very special way,
right,
and washed in a very special way. And then He gets to enter into the very presence of God and offer up a sacrifice. If that doesn't make us think about Christ, we're veiled with the veil of Moses still, and we need to hear His word, because this is a very much a foreshadow of the very high priestly role of Christ. You know, He is the one who is in our stead. And then we get to see ourselves in Christ too, right? Because we don't enter, as you want to talk about, which is right, that you want to talk about you as member of a congregation who partakes. You're very blessed, and I rejoice in that too, because our congregation, we have the Lord's Supper whenever we're gathered together, and that's such a blessing. But as we are gathered together, what do? We confess our sins, right? We receive His forgiveness. We are gathered together in the name of our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, reminding us of our very baptism, where God brings us into His presence and clothes us, washes us, and we have all these images of the basin, which, you know, as you move into, so you've got the people of Israel outside of this tent, and as you move into the tent, you have the place for the burnt offering, right? And as you move closer into the closer to the Holy of Holy the holy place, you have that basin where they would wash themselves, and that shows that we need to be made clean. So we make these offerings, these burnt offerings, which you will, you know, in Leviticus makes so clear how and what and why and when of these offerings. And now the need to be clothed and cleansed as we enter in. You know, you hear Christ speak to us of the wedding feast and needing to be clothed and needed to have the garment on of righteousness, right? Yeah, and all these things you can see so clearly once you hear Christ then speak. Once we move from the shadow to the reality of Christ and his gospel, we can see these things are precursors of the greater reality of us with Christ in that very sanctuary that you come into every week. So this seems so abstract and so otherworldly from what we live in, right? But in a reality, we do that for the member that comes to church. You know, this is our reality, that we get to come into not the outer circle, but we come into the very presence of God. We're into the holiest place here, not one time a year, but every time we enter into the, you know, his chancel and into this rail where we are brought to the point of Christ given to us. That's God given to us. So, we are extremely blessed to see a picture of the reality that we have for some every week.
We're wrapping up the book of Exodus. We're in chapter 40 with Pastor John Shank, who serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. Join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Surely after 49 and a half lessons, someone must have some question that has been incubating out there for those 7 odd weeks that we, again, there's that word, odd. Those 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
That we've
yes.
done that. We are such an odd people, though, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah, because we. A little, you know, we look at this and, you know, all right, so, you know, sacrifices and all that, and then you carry this forward to today, and, you know, this little thing of wine, this little thimble. Maybe I'm giving it too much credit calling it a thimble. Maybe thimbles are bigger. And this little quarter-sized piece of bread.
Right.
You know. What an odd people. Then this is the presence of God, really.
Right. And in our text, then, to again make the connection back to our text, as you are so leading me into here so astutely. You're a very good shepherd here. But
it is, believe me, if anything good happens here, it isn't me.
Yeah.
Trust me.
With our text, is Moses choosing the presence of God, right? Is he saying, I've got a great idea, everyone. Let's build a tent. And in this tent, we'll have another tent, and it will be really veiled off because we shouldn't see inside. And only one person gets to go inside one time a year for a special purpose, and God will be with us. Or is it the other way around? Is God listing out how he will be present with his people? And in that, is God saying to us, you know, it seems like we're very fine then with God saying to Moses, this is how I'm going to be present with you. Wow, isn't that amazing? Wouldn't that be wonderful to have God's presence in such a way? Oh, yeah. We have even a greater way through the body and blood of Christ. And yet we turn to it and say, oh, look at this little piece of bread and a sip of wine from a chalice. You know, how can eating and drinking do such things? But it's surely not the eating and drinking, but the promise of it being the very body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Not just one time, one special day of the year. You know, we don't just do this on Easter.
True.
But we bring Easter to every Sunday or where as we are gathered. I think we can stand back and look at Exodus 40 and be in awe of the mystery of God in such a presence, you know, a special way. But in the church, we become so callous to an even more greater reality a greater smoke, a greater fire, a greater presence with God. And yet we're like lackadaisical, right? And yet we just kind of turn to it and say, you know, it's a stale wafer.
You know, I could get out of here 10 minutes earlier if you would just, you know.
Not have that.
You know, yeah, just, you know, what's the point?
Right. We can have the sermon, you know.
And keep that one short, too, by the way.
Well, yeah. I'll work on that next week. So, yeah. And so we become, you know, kind of, and kind of reminiscing as we turn back to the Old Testament. What if we could just have that kind of presence today? Think about the church. Well, we've got a greater presence. So let's be so much.
But you have to admit, Pastor Shank, that this huge cloud descending upon Trinity there in Edwardsville and just sort of lingering, now that's flash. Now that would impress some people.
Yeah, and yet the
and
Lord...
And glows with fire at night? Ooh, now that's really even more impressive.
Right, and it's and miracles are always impressive, but they're not there to impress, right? We're not here to be miracle workers to impress, and like we had with last week's readings. The point is not to have Jesus' teaching just to make us awe, right? To make us stand here in awe with our jaws open, but to create faith. So we're not here to be miracle workers and to make everybody... ooh and awe at the majesty of that. But we're here to bring the body and blood of Christ. I mean, the very God who created everything in the universe decided to be present with us in bread and wine. And yet we say, I wish it was different. maybe we should just confess and come and receive.
You know, the amazing thing, when you again carry forward to the New Testament, you have the tabernacle and all the care that went into making the tabernacle. You have all the appliances, you have the screens, you have the wall around it, the entirety of Israel encamps around this. You have the cloud. When the cloud lifts, as you said, the people move. When it stops, the people stop, and that's where they stay. And still they didn't believe.
Yeah. Yeah, we struggle, don't we?
Yeah, and then at least they had that. I mean, like I said, that was big. That was impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and still, Aaron, funniest line of the Bible, I threw in the gold and out came the calf. You know, I mean, is it tougher today to believe about this little wafer and this little drop of wine than it is when you've got clouds and dead Egyptians and you've got plagues and all kinds of things going on?
Yeah, so the amazing thing about faith is that it's not, thanks be to God, it's not about a strength within us to make it come about, right? Because if it was, no one would believe. And that's the thing about miracles and all this clouds. If we have to stare at them and then work within us ourselves a spark of faith, right? We got to fan this spark into flame here.
Right.
Then we're all in trouble. But thanks be to God, he makes his enemies into believers. And unfortunately, because of the fall, we are enemies of God, right? We are unwilling, but he makes the unwilling willing through his very word and through his gifts of his presence and baptism where he makes us his own children through adoption. And so, yeah, I mean, you can see all this in this wonderful text, and you bring it forward to our very lives. And it's, you know, we can be in awe of our unbelief, but thanks be to God, he makes us unbelievers believers.
505-7850-1800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. We're going to take a short break. A few very important announcements. Do pay attention. But then Pastor John Shank will return. We'll wrap up chapter 40 and, well, for good measure, we'll also give you a quick overview of what we've learned over the course of the last 7 weeks. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Hey, Thank you for listening to KFUO Radio. You listen to us, and we want to hear from you. That's why we have our listener comment line at 314-505-7839. Maybe you have a comment about our programming.
I very much appreciate your ministry. You just really have a feel for the audience. I just want to compliment, thank you, and let you know I thank God for you.
Call the comment line at 314-505-7839 and let us know about something you like or maybe didn't like on KFUO.
I hope you don't have any more of this Mooney Crooney Ben at the Moon Contemporary Worship.
Remember, you're always welcome to call our live programs, but we realize that many of you may be listening to one of our on-demand podcasts and you can't call in. So call the comment line at 314-505-7839. Leave a comment for a program or a comment about KFUO in general.
I just really appreciate your program. Blessings to you and yours.
The KFUO comment line.
The way man communicates has changed radically over the centuries. What went from shouting across a field to throwing a stone to maybe tying a note to an arrow became radio. And that became KFUO Radio, and the gospel went global. Now we've entered the age of new media. KFUO is there as well. Like us on Facebook. If you follow us, you'll get announcements, program audio, staff photos. Everything you want to know about KFUO is available on the Facebook page. KFUO Radio on Facebook. Like us today.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? The Sons of Korah, an Australian group, has taken up the mission of singing the Psalms in the setting of contemporary Christian music. One of their most impressive numbers begins with the frantic beat of drums. The beat continues as we hear the words of David from Psalm 14. The fool says in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable things. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one." Perhaps St. Paul remembered these words a millennium after they were written, for the Psalms were also sung in the times of the early church. St. Paul wrote these words, so familiar to us, in his letter to the Romans, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But there's more. "Since we are all corrupt and live for ourselves rather than in and for the God who has created, redeemed, and restored us in Christ Jesus our Lord, we each need redemption from outside of us. We could never hope to be good enough even to achieve our own standards for goodness. That's just why St. Paul says later in Romans, God has consigned all to disobedience that he may have mercy on all. So David ends his psalm with a cry. "Oh, that salvation for Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores the fortunes of his people, let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad." Let's pray. Lord, teach us, along with the psalmist, that salvation and restoration are your good gifts to all of us. Then teach us to acknowledge this as the truth, and then it will be true for us. For we pray in the name of Jesus, who has, does, and will deliver us. Amen.
Morning. Welcome back to the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. Thank you for being with us. We're wrapping up the book of Exodus. We're also going through chapter 40. We're doing sort of double duty here with Pastor John Shank from Trinity Lutheran Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. And I tell you, Pastor, before we get back to some of the text and talk about God covering the tabernacle and how that extends to us today, and even more, let's go to the phones and see what Bob has on his mind. Good morning, Bob. Good to hear from you again.
Good morning, Roland. Good morning, Pastor Shank.
Good morning, Bob.
We're on vacation. I'm up in Nebraska now, not in Texas, but that is still wonderful. You got the internet, and boy, I can listen to the Bible study, and it's really great. What I wanted to point out was that God had really worked some wonderful things. He took one person, and out of that person, he grew a whole nation, and he put them in an incubator. That was Egypt, and they grew, and they became a nation, and then he gave them a representation of heaven. The tabernacle was a representation of heaven, and different elements all pointed to heaven. And that became the model for the tabernacle, or for the temple when the temple was finally built. And he gave them a representation of Christ. The high priest was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies once a year, only once, and it was only he could go in there. And so God had the whole plan of salvation laid out. And then Christ came, and he was crucified. The curtain was torn, and from then on, you didn't need the high priest and all that kind of stuff. Christ, the one for whom it was really pointing to, had come. And to me, it's just wonderful that you have a representation of heaven, and you have a stand-in for Christ until he comes, and God had the whole plan laid out so that that Israel and then finally the whole world could see and could know what he was up to.
Thanks, Bob. Yeah, it's a very wonderful summation of the very fact of having heaven on earth, and we have that today as well, don't we?
Yeah.
As we are gathered together in His name, around His gifts. He brings us into His very presence. And what is heaven all about? What do we talk about when we talk about heaven, but being in the very presence of God in Christ Jesus? And what do we have? As we are gathered together, we have the very presence of God in Christ Jesus for many, as they're gathered together every week. And that's the, We don't go to worship to appease an angry God and make Him happy with us once again, but we experience heaven on earth, and we are gathered together with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven. You know, so often we mourn, and as rightfully so, we do mourn those who have passed away, but how comforting is it to know that as we are gathered in Christ, we are gathered together with all those who have passed. And in a very physical reality of His meal.
What I really love is the churches that that have the altar protruding out of the back wall or out of the wall, and when you commune around that altar, it's you're on one side, the saints who are in heaven are on the other side, and that picture to me is just a perfect, wonderful picture of we're communing and they're communing and we're all together.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like you said, we're all together. And where are we gathered together? In Christ, who is with us, and His glory is amazingly shining forward in this gift. And we have a wonderful gift. The Christ has given His church exactly what she needs to sustain her until He comes again. And we need to rejoice in this gift each and every day, that we have the presence of God in a very physical way, so that there is no doubting. How do I know that I have Christ? Well, He has put Himself into my very mouth. Salvation is here.
One of the beauties of the Old Testament and studying the Old Testament and becoming very conversant with the Old Testament is it paints such a wonderful picture of God's love for His people. And the judgment, yes, He's got judgment. He judges those, but it's also a wonderful picture of His love for His people. And that's why I love the Old Testament, because if you don't understand the Old Testament, you're not going to really understand the New Testament.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Bob. Hey, safe travels as you head back home to Texas.
Oh, we're going to be around Nebraska for a while, and then we're going up to Wisconsin, and then finally, sometime in August, we'll head back to Texas.
Well, wherever you go, God go with you.
Hopefully, it'll be cooler when we go down there.
What, are you going back in December?
Yeah, that's about right.
Take care.
So we got to go to Israel in November 1st. So.
Oh, wow.
Wow, you don't stay in one place very long.
I try not to. They say you can't hit a man who's moving.
Take care, Bob.
We'll see you later. Yeah,
we'll look forward to continuing to hear from you as you make your travels across.
And the
the world, literally. Yeah.
The point that Bob brings up a lot is a point that Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, brings up with Christ being the high priest and all these sacrifices coming to end in Christ, who made this once-for-all sacrifice of his very body for us. And now we come and receive the glory of that sacrifice, his very body and blood, now for we receive his very forgiveness of our sins. So,
let me jump forward to verse 34, because I think this will form nicely our wrap-up of Exodus. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the people of Israel would set out. But if the cloud was not taken up, then they would not set out till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was on the tabernacle by day, and fire was in it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel throughout all their journeys. And that is the conclusion of Exodus, and specifically Exodus chapter 40. The word covering, this is such a critical word for the New Testament, because we talk about being covered in the blood of the Lamb and clothed in new robes, covered in new robes and all this. But the covering was equally important in the Old Testament, wasn't it?
Yeah, because we have that talk with the Ark of the Covenant. We have the covering, and we have the blood sprinkled on it as an atonement. We have now coverings of the of different veils upon it, and now we have the reason why, right? That this had to be veiled, because the very presence of God, the very glory of God, would be there with his people. So now we have a new covering of us in the glory of God. I keep using this language, but it is so true that it is the foreshadow. It is the promise of the reality that we have now in Christ. So we see a glory of God here with the people, but it's not the same glory. So now they can eagerly await for the fullness of his glory now given to all people and all nations. The one priest, high priest, could enter in and not be consumed by that glory.
But something here has changed, because Moses first meets God in the burning bush on the mountain. He goes up upon a mountain to receive the law. He goes up upon a mountain to receive it a second time after he destroyed the first tablets at the pagan golden calf being being created by Aaron. And but now we hear this verse that says that Moses was not able to enter into the... What has changed here? Of all people, you think Moses would be the one guy who could enter in where the presence of God was there.
Yeah, and so, again, we're being taught that who sets the parameters? Who is coming to whom, right? God is coming to us. And as he comes to us, he is providing his way. And his way was provided through the high priest and these priestly class, right? And these people who then would go in the stead of all people. And it wasn't through Moses, but it was through his brother and through his sons and through that line. I'm not saying that he was trying to dictate it, but he wasn't going to be able to dictate it either. The people don't dictate to God, but God has his mercy on his people. So it's a different direction. We're not going to him with our demands, but he's coming to us with his mercy. And that's what we can see in the person of Christ, who, as we hear in John 1:14, tabernacles, tents, dwells with us. And we saw his glory, the glory of the only Son of God.
And there's a bit of an intimidating lesson here as well, don't you think, Pastor Shank, that today seems really lost on our contemporary culture, and that is God doesn't allow just anyone into his presence.
Yes. Yeah, I think reverence and awe of God has turned into something else, right? We don't have much fear and trembling anymore. And some of it's good, you know, because God calls us into his very presence. He has gone to the cross and won for us very salvation. And yet, sometimes we don't recognize our place within this is we're not our Savior. We are the sinners. We are the ones that have received his mercy. And we don't go to him with demands, but we go to him with praise and thanksgiving in response of what he has done, not in response that, of course he would save me, because look at me. I'm very much one who should be saved.
So you're really emphasizing here, Pastor, that you got to get the directions right. And what I mean by directions is the cloud lifts and the people follow, not the other way around. But today, with this mentality that we are our own little Christs,
yeah,
not in the right sense, but in the wrong sense,
right?
We always seem to be getting out ahead of God.
Yes. We want to set his direction and how he should be present with us. And yet, we should just be in awe and rejoice in that he is present with us in his way, because his way is the way, the only way to him. Getting the direction right is very necessary.
505-7850-1800-730-2727. KFUO at KFUO.org. This is always a delight. I don't know. Brace yourself. Fasten your seatbelt. Our very good friend and brother, Pastor Nabil Noor, is joining us on the phone. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning, St. Roland and good brother. How are you, folks?
Good morning.
I'm a baptized, redeemed child of Christ. It don't get no better than that.
Amen to that. I agree with you 100%. Now, you asked the $1.3 billion question a few moments ago about the covering. I don't know if you looked at it in the Hebrew, good brother. The word is kafar. This is what we talk about, Yom Kippur, the day of atonement, the day of covering. We have that in Romans. We have it throughout all of the Old Testament. The day of covering is the most holy day ever. It is the day where God wraps us and covers all of our filth, all of our stench, all of our impurities, and presents us whole. And Brother Roland, just a few moments ago, you said a precious word, I am a baptized child of God. On that day, God wrapped you, not only with water, but that his covering of righteousness to present you to God. Why is this so special for us as Christians? I, as a pastor, every time I step into the sanctuary, I get dressed with an alb before I preach to remind me of the covering that Christ has put upon me. Every child of God who enters his house remembers his baptism as we begin the invocation in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why is that important? Because on our own, there is no way we could stand in the presence of God any more than Moses could. That covering, or the propitiation, or the atonement, or Kippur in the Hebrew, permits me to stand in the presence of God, holy, righteous, without having to be fearful of being put to death. And all of this has been made possible only through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is one of the most precious words of the Old Testament.
And not just of the Old, though, Right?
Well, that's true, but it is of all of Scripture.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But all of Scripture. But we glimpse of that, we get a glimpse of it in the Old Testament. And, of course, we have that in the book of Romans, the propitiation that he covers us with, that not a sin is ever visible to the eyes of a holy and just God.
Absolutely.
Pastor, if you would allow me a moment to distract, since I've got Pastor Noor on the line. A couple of 3 weeks ago, I was privileged to go back to the congregation that confirmed me. That was Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Olivet, Missouri. I know you've got a connection to that congregation.
Yes, I do.
And everybody said, thanks for coming, but tell me about Nabil Noor and convey our best regards to Nabil Noor. You have such a great following there at Emmanuel Olivet. They love you dearly, and I just wanted to pass that along to you.
Thank you so much. You know, this radio station and our church body has been such a blessing to permit this come like me, man who is nothing but filth, to be able to be a beacon of light and of hope, to speak of the living hope of the resurrection to the people of God all over the country. It surpasses my wildest imagination, and only because God is so good. Just when you sit down and ponder who this God is, it just blows your mind. I was doing my devotion this morning in Judges chapter 6, and we have Gideon, and he asked God to have the fleece wet one day and the surrounding area dry, and the next day it's reversed. Only God could do that. No other God could. You ponder that for a while, and I'll keep you guys going because you are doing a good job, and God bless you.
Thank you, my friend. Good to hear from you.
Bye-bye. Yeah, we have this covering language, we have this atonement language, we have all of this here because God is being merciful.
And when you talk about the parable of the wedding garments, that's a covering also. That's what this is about yet again.
Yeah, as we talked about earlier, all these things that people get very excited about as we hear, right?
Yeah.
And we should be excited about that because... in and of ourselves, as we heard, we are nothing but filth. And yet, in Christ, we are nothing but holiness and righteousness because he has given it to us, right?
Yeah.
He has covered us with himself. You are now in Christ. You are in Christ. As a baptized child of God, you're in Christ. And that means all of what his and all of what he has done and all of what he has earned is given to you.
So, to look back across these many weeks, many lessons in Exodus, God calls us out of this world, he calls us to be obedient to his word, and then he dwells among us.
Yeah. And another aspect there of that calling, as you're talking about, is that he makes us his own, right? We are his. And how comforting is that in the midst of this world of hardships, in the midst of this world of... You've kind of mentioned out, you know, the church, the capital C church, is persecuted in the sense of it being small and insignificant in the eyes of the world. It doesn't, you know, the church is, the world thinks it should be, is having all these clouds and fire, and it should be very visible. The church should be very visible. And yet, how is the church very visible in what appears to be so insignificant, right? A piece of bread, a sip of wine, the very body and blood of Christ, and there's his church, and there's his people who've been called out of darkness into his light, who have been called out of, eternal death into eternal life. And it seems so small. And yet, we can have so much comfort in this reality because we belong to him now. It's not us, but him.
So when I say Exodus, what's the first word that pops into your mind?
Leaving.
Leaving.
Right?
Which should be doing in 5 minutes.
Right? But not, obviously not in just the reality of, okay, so the whole point is that the people left? No, but the whole point is that the people were called out. Right? And so they left this very physical slavery. But they're being called out of their eternal slavery of sin and death and damnation to a whole new being, to a whole new reality of a personhood in Christ. So this exodus, you have. This is your history. As you are in Christ, you are Israel, right?
Yeah.
This is your people. These are your forefathers. And this is your promise. And this is now the glory that you join into as you go to church. So all of this is a very present reality for us as church, this exodus.
You know, one commentator who wrote, some words on Exodus, made the remark that he thought it would be better titled, instead of Exodus, to be titled Redemption as a book name. Because really is, the entirety is about redemption of Moses, of the people, of the house of Israel, Jacob.
Yeah.
It's all about redemption.
Yeah. And you have all those buying back kind of redemption feels and themes and all that within the Exodus too.
Yeah.
I'll understand what God is meaning by having this title be placed to this writing, because it's a good title too, right?
Yeah.
We can leave it how it is, but understand all those themes within Exodus, right? The themes of electing, predestining, all that is here too.
Yeah.
In a very comforting way.
Yeah, see, how do you, with all the events in Exodus, how do you pick out the one most important one? The Ten Commandments, the plagues, the tabernacle, all the types and prophecies of the coming Messiah, it's hard to nail down just one.
Yes. If you're looking at all of these things as individual, distinct things, instead of seeing the holistic fact of promise being fulfilled, that this God can be trusted. This God who makes promises brings them about. So what does that mean for us?
That is the question.
He's made us some promises, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's made us promises that he's going to bring about your salvation. Can he be trusted? He showed himself to be very trustworthy. He showed himself to be very capable of bringing about his promises and fulfilling them. And so what has he done? He's promised that he's going to be born. He's promised that he is going to die for you. He's promised that he's going to clothe you and make you his own. And now we see that being fulfilled each and every time we bring a child, each and time we bring a person to the very waters of baptism, where he fulfills his promises today.
Yeah. You know, the other lesson that I've taken from Exodus, and very early on after the Israelites have been liberated from Egyptian slavery, be very careful when you tell God you will do whatever he says.
Yeah.
And I would commend, when I say that, get a Lutheran service book and read the rite of baptism.
Yeah.
Where you are pledging.
Yeah.
You know, it's be very careful when you make that promise.
There's crosses that we bear as Christians, right? And yet, the burden is light because he has taken the one true cross upon himself. So we bear our cross to be conformed to the very image of Christ who suffered for us. And so he teaches us how to suffer in him, which is good. Our suffering is good because what's it do? It draws us back to the very Christ in which we have life and salvation. The very one who saw our need and said, I'll die for them. I love them that much, even before he created us, from the very foundations of the world. So we are conformed to his image. And we see all this happening in Exodus as he's drawing his people out, setting them aside and making them his own.
Well, we start in Exodus, in bondage, in slavery, and we end at the cross.
Freedom.
Which is freedom. Beautiful job, my friend.
Thank you, Roland. It's always an honor.
Thank you. And also thanks to the callers today, Bob and also Pastor Noor. Coming up next, it's Ask the Pastor. Some interesting connections to Exodus in our stack of stuff today. You want to stick around and join us for that hour as well. We'll be right back on the Bible Study.
Listen to the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Jesus once said, "Whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the wind blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock." I'm Mark Hawkinson. Where is your life founded today? Join me for some rock-solid hymns, songs, and spiritual songs on Jubilation this Sunday afternoon from 1 to 4 p.m. on KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm Rita Foley. Jeers, boos, and some polite applause for Mitt Romney at the annual meeting of the NAACP. Romney told them that electing him president would be in the best interest of their families.
My policy will be, number one, create jobs for the American people. I do not have a hidden agenda. And I submit to you this. If you want a president who will make things better in the African-American community, you are looking at him. You take a look.
Listen to the reaction now as Romney says, as president, he would work to repeal the new health care law.
I'm going to eliminate every non-essential, expensive program I can find. That includes Obamacare. And I'm going to work to reform and save.
He said his Republican Party doesn't have a perfect record on race relations, but he promised that he would work with black leaders to put the country back to work. And he flatly accused President Obama of blowing the chance to revive the economy. That brought more jeers. 95% of African Americans backed President Obama in 2008. Food prices are expected to go up as much as 3.5% this year and maybe even higher now, say the experts. The problem is that a third of the nation's corn crop is showing signs of damage from heat and drought. Builder Pulte Homes says it will construct a home addition free for a Georgia woman who's been battling a flesh-eating disease. Amy Copeland's suburban Atlanta home will now include a new bedroom, a fitness room for rehabilitation, and a study area. What's the most memorable moment we all shared on TV ever? By far, it was the 9/11 terror attacks, according to a new survey by Nielsen and Sony Electronics. This is AP Radio News.